Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
It wasn't that long ago that we had a family friend over who was helping with our kids, and they decided to make French toast for breakfast. And whenever we got up and were eating and were with the kids and we had the French toast, there was something about it that tasted a little more than off. And not wanting to say anything for the sake of our friend's feelings, it was only later when we were cleaning up the kitchen that we noticed that there was a big container of salt on the counter, but no container of sugar. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? Paul says. It didn't matter how many pieces of French toast there were, or how long they were grilled for, or how much the kids just ate them anyway because it was exciting to have French toast. You would never get all that salt out. It was totally mixed into the batter. Leaven in a piece of bread is even worse because it naturally spreads and grows the bread in a way that is irreversible. That's how Paul tells us that sin works. Through one man, sin entered the world. That is, through Adam, sin entered the world, and death through sin. And thus death spread to all men because all sinned. You see, the nature of sin is like that of an ingredient in a batter, or leaven in a bread. That is to say that it is an organic thing, a living thing. Something that spreads and grows like weeds in a yard. Sin breeds more sin. When sin flowers, it spreads and it blossoms elsewhere. It gets into every nook and cranny of our lives. That's how come we have sins the Bible tells us we don't even remember or we don't even know about. We have hidden faults, according to Psalm 19. When Paul preaches, sometimes he gives you a list of sins, called a vice list, to help you think about how many types of ways sin manifests itself in your life, to help you think about, through the way of listing, where you might find sin in your life. Think about what he says in Romans 1. There is unrighteousness among the world, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful. And it doesn't matter if we try and cover it up. It doesn't matter if we try and hide it somehow. My friend could have put in all the sugar and all sorts of flavors to try and cover up the salt. But let's be honest, the batter was gone for. Once the leaven is in the loaf, it is gone for. If you want a loaf without leaven, you have to throw the whole thing out and start over. And as much as we hate to say it, that's true not just in the world in general, true not just for unbelievers, but true for ourselves. Even of beautiful little children like Layla and Jasper and Zara. And what we do when we sin is we deserve, as a loaf that is ruined does, is to be thrown out by God. We have been completely corrupted by sin. And if we are honest with ourselves, we were not worth keeping around from God's perspective. He should have thrown out the whole batch and started over again. When Paul speaks to the Corinthians this morning, he says to them, "You truly are unleavened." Purge out the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, because you truly are unleavened. And how can this be? How can it be that he says to those Corinthians, who, as we know from reading in 1 Corinthians, are pretty corrupted by sin, how can he say to them, you truly are unleavened? How can that be? How have they been cleansed? Paul tells you, for Christ our Passover, or our Paschal, has been sacrificed for us. For Christ our Passover has been sacrificed. If you go back to the Passover in the Old Testament, it is that special feast where the Israelites gathered at the last plague of Egypt to sacrifice the lamb and to put the blood on their doorpost, so that when the angel of death passed over, they would literally pass over their house and they would not die because they were marked by the blood. And as our hymn stated so beautifully, when Christ, our Passover lamb, sheds his blood on the cross, it marks our door, and our faith points to it, and death passes over. But also remember, back in that feast of the Israelites, way back in Exodus, that the Passover was more than just the blood on the doorpost. It was also a feast of unleavened bread. Way back at the start of the beginning of Lent, maybe on the Tuesday before Ash Wednesday, you participated in Fat Tuesday, eating pancakes and poshkis and whatever else you like to eat on Fat Tuesday. And the idea behind that was that you were cleaning the leaven out of your house in preparation for fasting. You were looking forward to this Passover, this feast of unleavened bread. But the true feast of unleavened bread is today. When Jesus Christ was crucified and when he rose again, that took place over the feast of Passover. But he has made Passover new again. When he was sacrificed on the cross, not only was he the pure, spotless, atoning lamb for our sins, but he also was our unleavened bread. Since the early church, Easter has been called the Paschal Feast, or Pascha. That's the older name for Easter. Easter is a little bit more of a modern name, coming from a little more Western roots. It comes from the word for sunrise, not some pagan god named Ishtar, by the way. You can put those internet memes out of your head for now, because they're not true. Easter means sunrise, and that is appropriate because in Mark's gospel, as we heard, Jesus was found not to be in the tomb when the sun had risen. But I do kind of like that older term better, the Paschal Feast. Pascha means Passover. And this is our Passover. This is the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And how is this the Feast of Unleavened Bread? It is the Feast of Unleavened Bread. It is the Feast of Pascha in this way, because when Christ died and was raised again, he did something unbelievable, impossible for human hands. He cleansed out sin from the world. He died on the cross, atoning for sin, receiving God's wrath, and that purifying fire of God's wrath dealt with sin once and for all. But when he rose from the dead, especially, he came to give a new life, a new lump, if you will. And that really is an Easter miracle. No human could, no matter how hard they tried, separate out the sin, the leaven, from their lives. It doesn't matter how many good works you perform. It doesn't matter how hard you try to be a good Christian. It doesn't matter if you were to try and surgically go into your heart and pull out every last bit of sin. That's not how it works. You can't do it. It's totally mixed in. It's a baked part of the batter. A little leaven leavened our lumps. But only Christ could do it. It is an Easter miracle that when Christ rises from the dead, after dealing with sin on the cross, he gives you the ability to become new. It's why he kills us. In baptism, today we saw it with Jasper and Zara and Layla, we die to sin. And then we are raised with Christ to live a new life, an unleavened life. The only way that sin can be dealt with is by death and resurrection. And Christ went before us and did it. And now he invites us through our baptisms in the same. Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should also walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his own resurrection. You see, like sin is organic, sin is living, so also faith in Christ is living. And faith grows. And when we look on him, and when we remember our baptisms, and when we grasp through trust in him, by faith, what he did for us in the cross and in his resurrection, we are cleansed. He does what no man can do. He comes into our hearts and he pulls out every bit of sin. Now, yes, we still struggle with sin in the flesh on this earth, but he has dealt with it. And when you repent and turn to him, when you change your ways, you too can have a new life. And I can say to you, as Paul said to the Corinthians today, purge out the old leaven, because you really are unleavened. You are a new lump. Through Christ, you are a new creation. And that changes everything. It means, for one, that when you die, even though you die, yet shall you live. Because if Christ was raised from the dead, and if the wages of sin is death, and Christ has dealt with sin, and he has rose victorious over death, then you also shall rise victorious over death. But even now in this life, it changes everything. Paul tells the Corinthians, therefore let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, not with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. You see, the natural man in us, the old man in us, would consider life ultimately to be filled with nothing but malice and wickedness and suffering and death. Man would be for himself and no one else. Every man for himself, me against everyone else, looking out for number one. That's what the old man would say. The old man would say, why do bad things happen to me? But remember the miracle of Easter. Through Christ, we have a new feast. Through Christ, we have a new hope. Through Christ, we have a feast not of malice and wickedness, not of all of those other ways in which sin finds itself into the nooks and crannies of our life, and unrighteousness and sexual immorality and covetousness, and envy and murder and strife and deceit and evil-mindedness and whispering and backbiting and hating God and being violent and proud and boasters and inventors of evil things and disobedient to parents and undiscerning and untrustworthy and unloving and unforgiving and unmerciful. No more of that today. Purge it out of your life. For in Christ you are a new creation. In Christ, all those little nooks and crannies of sin can be forgiven. In Christ, you can be raised from the death of that sin. And in Christ you can say, even when bad things happen, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. In Christ you can say, even when others are wicked against you, God will have his vengeance on the last day. You can say when the devil tempts you, away from me. Sin disturb my soul no longer. I am baptized into Christ. In Christ, sin is forgiven, the devil is defeated, and death has been defeated by life. Death is swallowed up by death. And today, know nothing else but the victory that you have through Christ. He has prepared that Paschal feast for us to eat today. This altar is no longer an altar of sacrifice, but an altar of sacrament, an altar of God giving to you, an altar of feasting. The Paschal feast, the Easter feast, it is ready. Let us celebrate today with sincerity and truth, for where the Paschal blood is poured, death's dark angel sheathes its sword. Israel's hosts triumphant go through the wave that drowns the foe. Praise we Christ whose blood was shed, Paschal victim, Paschal bread. With sincerity and love, eat we manna from above. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.